You may think this is a strange way for me to begin a sermon, but I'm going to begin this sermon today by announcing a fact. And this is the fact. This will not be a pleasant sermon for me to preach or for you to hear. I'm going to speak on final punishment. I'm going to speak on the condemnation of unbelievers. I'm going to speak from a text in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, which says, "Their foot shall slide in due time." Their foot shall slide in due time. Now, my friends, the man who enjoys preaching a sermon on God's wrath, now listen to me, the man who enjoys preaching on God's wrath and the condemnation of evil men does not have a heart of love for sinners. He has no compassion for sinners. He has no understanding of the wrath of God. And a man who delights and enjoys hearing, now you listen, a man who enjoys hearing a sermon on judgment and eternal wrath is filled with presumption. He's filled with self-righteousness, and he really has no genuine fear of God in his heart. So I'm not going to enjoy preaching this sermon, not like some I've preached, on the mercy and love of God and the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And you're not going to enjoy hearing it, but you've got to hear it, and I've got to preach it. I must preach it. I must, as Paul said, keep back nothing profitable unto you. I must not shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Men may not like it and enjoy it, but I must preach it. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, really, there are three reasons for preaching this message. One is the example of my Lord. That's the first reason for preaching, the example of Christ Jesus. Christ, our beloved Master, our beloved Savior, warned men to flee the wrath to come. He warned the sinners. Listen to him. He says, "Don't be afraid of them which kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I say unto you, fear him who is able to cast you body and soul into hell." Christ said that. And our Lord said, "If your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better to go through life with one hand than to go into hell with two, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." In Matthew, he said, talking about those unbelievers who will stand on the left hand at the judgment, our Lord said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." Someone said our Lord said more about hell than he did about heaven. That may be so, because he had a lot to say about eternal condemnation and eternal punishment. I haven't had a lot to say about it, but we must say something about it. We must, from the example of our Lord, and then we must from the command of our Lord. He said, listen to this, in Ezekiel, "When I say unto the wicked man, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die." Now, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, "that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand." My Lord commanded me to preach on this subject, condemnation. I'm not only to preach the love of God, I'm to preach the wrath of God. Not only the mercy of God, but the righteousness of God. Not only the grace of God, but the truth of God. Eternal condemnation. And then the third reason why I preach it is this. Not only from the example of our Lord and the command of our Lord, but the possibility that someone will be awakened, that someone will be disturbed, that someone will be brought to a genuine fear of sin and a genuine desire for salvation, a genuine fear of judgment and condemnation, and a genuine need of grace, and someone will be awakened to seek the Lord. Nineveh was awakened to seek the Lord under the preaching of Jonah. That's right. And the Gentiles were awakened to seek the Lord under the preaching of Paul. And it may be that someone out there listening to me will listen not just with the ears but with the heart, and will not listen as to a man only, but to God's speaking through his word. For we are ambassadors of Christ and for Christ. As though God did beseech you himself, we cry, be you reconciled to God. Flee from the wrath to come. Maybe there's a dying thief out there that'll see something today or hear something today or be awakened by God's Spirit. But listen to the text. It ought to be marked in your Bible. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. Listen to it. God says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Their foot shall slide in due time. Now, my message will be divided into six parts. And I'll give you each part clearly, plainly. If you'd like to, write it down and study it. That's what I'd like for you to do. I don't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, the persuasive power of some man, the logic of a man, but in the Word of God, in the power of God. It's this book that shall judge you, not my word. It's Christ to whom you must give an account, not me. So you listen now. First of all, God has the power to cast men into hell. Now, God has that power. We see a little man standing on the street corner. He's got him a soapbox, and he's leading an atheistic rally of men who deny the existence of God. And he feels real brave and real good, and he steps up on the box, and he raises his fist to heaven and shakes his fist, and he says, if there be a God up there, let him strike me dead. If there be a God up there, I dare him to strike me dead. And then he laughs, and everybody claps and laughs, and he steps down off the box and walks his way unharmed. And men say, well, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? He will. He will. He says, their foot shall slide in due time. He will. God always pays his bills. The wages of sin is death. God always pays those who earn those wages. God always recompenses to every transgression a just reward. He says that to me belongeth vengeance. To me belongeth recompense. Their foot shall slide in my own time. David lamented. If you read the 73rd Psalm, this would be a good assignment for you today. Read the 73rd Psalm. And you'll find that David there is lamenting the trials of believers. It talks about how believers were under heavy trials and suffering and persecution and the prosperity of the wicked. Wicked men just seem to prosper. David talking about the wicked, the unbelievers, the rebels, he said, well, they're not in trouble. Why, he says, they're not plagued. He says, they have everything they want, all they want. They're corrupt, they speak against heaven, and yet they prosper. And when I thought on this, he said, it was too painful for me. I couldn't understand. Here was the righteous believer persecuted, in need, under heavy trial. It just seemed like God's hand was so heavy upon him. Like Naomi when she came back to Bethlehem. They said, well, here comes Naomi. She said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which is bitter. God hath dealt severely with me. God dealt severely with all of his children. Heavy trials. David couldn't understand that. And then he says, I went down to the sanctuary, to the house of God, and God showed me. I was looking at the prosperity of the wicked, the plenty. God showed me their end. Their foot shall slide in due time. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Why, this life is but a vestibule that leads into the great hall of eternity. It's like one snowflake in a blizzard. It's like one drop of rain in a flood. This life is nothing. It's just a fleeting shadow. It's just a temporary blooming flower. It's just a vapor. What is your life? It is but a vapor. Nothing compared to eternity. And God, David said, God showed me their end. God does everything in his own time. The Scripture says, in due time God sent forth His Son made of a woman. In due time Christ died for the ungodly. In due time God will exalt you. And here He says concerning the unbeliever, the rebel, the wicked, their foot shall slide in due time. They have no rock for it to rest upon. They have no foundation to build upon. They have no refuge to hide in. And their foot shall be set in slippery places, and it'll slide. It'll slide in God's own time. He got the power. Secondly, and the sinner has no power to resist God. Who can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Why, God doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. That's what He called and showed Nebuchadnezzar. Who can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God has the power and the right to cast men into hell. Why? Because men deserve to be condemned. Now, I know this is not going to be popular, but it's so, whether we like it or not. Men deserve to be cast into hell. Men deserve to be separated from God. Men deserve to be condemned. Now, listen to me. Suppose you're standing at the last judgment. You're standing there before God, and the books have been opened, and God keeps good books, accurate books. God keeps immaculate books. God keeps minute books. Every detail, every secret deed, every idle word, every imagination, every thought, every attitude, it's all written, God said. Everything's right there. Men shall be judged out of those things written in the books. And you stand there, and God sees your record. And God says, bind him hand and foot and cast him into hell. And you object. And you say, now wait a minute. And you look around for someone to speak for you and someone to plead your cause. And you look around hoping someone will say something, but nobody does. Nobody does. Now, the believer, Christ will be there to speak for him. Christ is our high priest. Christ is our mediator. That's one who speaks for another. That's one who represents another, our advocate, our lawyer who pleads our case. Christ is the believer's advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Christ is our advocate. And he's going to plead not our works, but his, not our merit, but His. Not our righteousness, but His. His wounds in His hands and feet. His blood. He's going to plead that for us. But you look around, you don't have an advocate. You stand before the judgment of God and the books are open and God says, bind him hand and foot and cast him into hell. And you say, hold on now, wait just a minute. Now somebody speak for me. And no one answers. And so God turns to the law and He says, law, do you object to this man being condemned? Do you object? And the law answers back and says, no, I do not. He is a transgressor of the law. He has broken the law. He has broken the law in many ways, in many words, in many evil thoughts, in many evil actions, in many evil imaginations. He's broken every law. To offend in one part to be guilty of the whole law. I don't object. I vote to condemn him. He's a lawbreaker. He's a transgressor. He has violated the righteousness and the holiness of God. And God says, all right, justice, do you object to this man being condemned? And justice replies, no, I do not. He has sinned, and the soul that sinneth it shall die. Isn't that what you said, Lord? Isn't that what's written? Every soul that sinneth shall surely die. The soul that sinneth must surely die. God will in no wise clear the guilty. God must be just. He must punish sin. Isn't that what you said, Lord? This man's a sinner. This man's a criminal. This man's a traitor. This man has violated your righteous commandments. Justice says, away with him. The Lord turns to the great high priest, Jesus Christ. He says, my son, do you object to this man being condemned? Do you object to this man being cast into hell? And the Lord Jesus replies, no, I do not. I never knew him. He never came to me for mercy. He never came to me for grace. It was said over and over again in the Scripture, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He never confessed His sins. There are many examples in the Scripture. The publican cried, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," and I showed him mercy. This man never cried for mercy. This man talked about how many times he'd fasted and how many times he'd been to church and how many times he'd prayed and how many times he'd tithed and how many times he'd done good work. No, Father, he never called on me. Yes, it was said in the Word, and he heard it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he never called. Yes, it was said in the Word, he that believeth on the Son hath life, but he never believed. Yes, it was said in the Word, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, but Father, he never confessed me to be Lord. He never looked to me. He looked to everything else but me. Father, I do not object. I do not plead for him. He never asked me to. He never looked to me. And then God the Father turns to the redeemed people of God, and He says to them, "Do you object to this man being condemned? The law doesn't object. Justice does not object. My Son does not object. What about you people? Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Paul, Peter, James, John. You redeemed people. Do you object?" And they reply, "We don't object, for true and righteous are His judgments. And when He shall cast the great religious professor and the great religious hypocrite into hell, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever, the redeemed of all ages shall shout hallelujah, glory to God, just and righteous are His judgments." I'm sorry, my friend, there's no one to plead your cause. Justice says, "I've not found a ransom. There's been no redemptive price paid to me for that fellow. I have not in my book anywhere any record of his sins being paid for. They're still on him. He's got to pay for them." And then listen to this. Sinners are now. Now watch this. This is something we don't understand in this generation. At least we don't preach it. Sinners are right now under the wrath of God. So to be under the wrath of God at judgment will be no new thing. Sinners are all, I know preachers don't preach this now, but you listen to me for the next 2 or 3 minutes. Sinners, unbelievers, Christ rejectors are right now under the wrath of God. It's not a coming thing. It's not a future thing. It's a present condition. Now listen. Psalm 7, verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Listen to John 3:36. He that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, I know the little buttons we wear and the bumper stickers, smile, God loves you. But now you better believe God instead of bumper stickers. God didn't choose by the foolishness of bumper stickers to save people, but by the preaching of his word. Faith goeth by hearing, and hearing not by bumper stickers, but by the word of God. And not by testimonies and experiences, but by the word of God. And God says, he that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God right now abides on him. God's angry. Unbelievers are not on trial. The trial's over. The trial was held in the Garden of Eden. We were there. We were there in our father Adam. We were in the loins of Adam. When he stood, we stood. When he sinned, we sinned. When he fell, we fell. When he died, we died. We were in Adam. The trial's over. We're not on trial. Unbelievers are not on probation. The sentence is passed. The trial's over. All of the evidence has been presented. The sentence has been passed. Guilty. And the judgment has been set. Eternal hell. It's already over. You're not on probation. God never says in his book you're on probation. We're on death's row where we are. We need to be rescued. We need to be lifted from certain ruin, from darkness and death and dungeon. Christ came to set the prisoner free. If men were on probation, they wouldn't be in prison. Men who are on probation are out, not in. But we're in by nature, not out. And then unbelievers are not friends with God. They're enemies of God. Christ said the world hates me. Now what he said? The natural mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So what I'm saying, when God sends me into hell, there's not going to be any change. They're already under the wrath of God. In Revelation 22:11 says, he that's unjust, let him be unjust still. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. He that's a transgressor still. He that's a lover of evil still. There's no change. He that's under the wrath of God, under the wrath of God still. And then notice the fourth thing. Unbelievers are controlled. Now watch this. By evil principles, they would find no happiness in heaven. An unbeliever would not find any happiness in heaven if God let him go there. Now, he doesn't love Christ now. What makes you think he'd love him then? He doesn't enjoy fellowship with God now. Why do you think he would want to have fellowship with God forever? You can't get him to sit and listen to a message from God's Word for 30 minutes. How in the world could he stand eternity in the presence of God? You can't rope, hogtie, buttonhole, pull, persuade, or bribe him to go to the house of God. What makes you think he'd want to go to the house of God and live forever? Dominated by evil principles. If men do not believe God's word now, why would they believe it then? If men do not enjoy holiness now, why would they enjoy it then? Someone said, well, preacher, it won't do a man any good to send him to hell. It won't do a man any good to send him to hell. Now listen to me. God's not sending men to hell to do them good. That's not how God does men good. Christ came to do men good. Christ said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And when men refuse and reject God's way of life, they must bear God's wrath. And God's not sending men to hell to do them good. He's sending men to hell to punish them for sin and to remove them from his universe where they can do no more harm. God is going to remove every enemy. The natural mind is an enemy of God. I just read that from Romans 8:7. God's going to remove every enemy. He said, every enemy shall be destroyed. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. God's going to rid this universe, heaven, earth, and the universe of every rebel, of every unbeliever, of every devil, of every enemy, till he gets the last one, which is death, and then going to have a kingdom of righteousness and perfect holiness over which Christ will reign. That's right. That's right. All right? In the fifth place, the fact that men are right now in good health and prosperity will not deliver them from God's wrath. He says their foot shall slide in due time. In due time. You may live to be 40, 50, 70, 80, 90, maybe even 100, but it is appointed unto men once to die. And let me tell you, my friend, you boast of your strength and your good health. Almighty God is able to remove it just like that. Oh, how powerless men are against earthquakes and floods and snowstorms and acts of God. And I'll tell you, all God has to do is just touch your backbone and you're paralyzed. All God has to do is just touch one nerve in your body and you're dead. Just touch your heart and it ceases to beat. Your lungs and they cease to breathe. You're in the hands of God. Pilate said to our Lord, you refuse to answer me knowing I've got the power to crucify you or let you go. And Christ said, you could have no power over me at all except it were given you from above. All power is of God. Yes, sir. Their foot will slide in due time. God's the one that has the calendar marked. The instrument of death is already prepared. God's one set these dates. He says the number of man's months are with the Lord. God has set his bounds. He cannot pass. Job 14, read it. You read the first part of it. Man that is born of woman is full of days and full of trouble. But read the rest of it. God has set his bounds. He cannot pass. Now the sixth thing. There is a way of deliverance. There is a ransom. Job said in Job 33:24, listen, he is gracious unto him, and he said, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? Oh, when I think of my sins and the broken law and the justice of God and eternal judgment, and I think, oh, if I could just find a ransom. Well, you won't find it in the church. You won't find it in religion. You'll find it in Christ. He is that ransom. He came to ransom sinners. He was numbered with the transgressors. And by his knowledge shall my servant justify many. The ransom is Christ. Just like paying a ransom for a kidnapped victim, they send a note and say, if you don't pay so much, we're going to kill him. And Christ provided a ransom. He met the law's demands and honored it. He met justice's demands and satisfied them. He met all that God the Father required and fully paid the price. Paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow.